to see everyone out. I know we still have some missing from sickness and different things. I'll be much in prayer for them. We've got some traveling, so I'll be much in prayer for those. I'm looking forward to a great service. Told them back in a Sunday school class, if you was in our class, you're going to get a rerun. Lord laid the same thing on my heart to preach as a Sunday school class was this morning almost. So it's exciting when that happens. And also it tends to go right along with our experience in God. I have really, really enjoyed that study. I don't know if y'all have or not, but I have truly enjoyed going through that study. And I'm going to hate to see it end. The good thing is it don't have to end. And we still got a bunch more weeks in it. But I just was thinking last night as I was studying it, you know, this is something that we need to keep up because it's really drawn me closer to the Lord. And I think if you've done it, you'll have to say that it has drawn you also. So it's a very, very important study that we're doing. And if you haven't been a part of it, be here tonight at 5 o'clock and you can get in on that study. We have been doing it in had it in the fellowship hall one time and had it in the youth room. So we're probably going to keep it in the youth room if we can run them out of there because it worked out good last week. So come out for that tonight, Experiencing God at 5 o'clock. Those of y'all that don't know, it's a study. If you don't have a book, we can get you fixed up with a book. You can get them at Lifeway or different places. And if you'll go through it, it'll change your life. It'll change your walk with the Lord. So got that out of the way. I'd like to welcome our visitors. Just make yourself at home and we'll love on you so many ways. Like I heard one preacher say one time, we'll love you so many ways, you got to like one of them. So looking forward to today's service. And also, we had a group from our church last night went to escape from somewhere. I'm not sure where they escaped from, but I saw it on, and it makes me feel good when I read the Facebook page from the place, and they was bragging on our church. What a great group of people, they said, and I thought, man, I'm glad that there was two of them that had backed out of going because they went to their sister's and sister-in-law's birthday party. If they had went, might not have had such good comments. But I'm glad y'all had a good time and represented our church in the way you did. That you made an impact that they would post about it, and it speaks volumes for those that went. So thank you for that. I'm glad you got out and had some fellowship time. It's how we grow closer together. It's how you grow as a church, and that's what I'm excited to see. And just amazing what God's doing right now. He's moving in a way I can't explain. Do we have any prayer requests before we get started?
Carol Williamson's family and my granddaughter Brianna's having her wisdom teeth out.
Amen. I know Miss Pat's got a lady she would like for us to remember, her good friends in ICU. Won't be much in prayer for that. Mr. Bill's going for treatment in 21st, is that right? First treatment, so be much in prayer for him.
Hannah has her little has a procedure done March 13th too. Please pray for that. It's heart related, and I'm a little nervous.
Oh yeah, it's always more serious when it's yours. So y'all be much in prayer for her, and thank God they found the problem. She's been they've been struggling with finding the problem, what was wrong with her. Now they found the problem, gonna be able to fix it. So thankful for that. Anyone else? Nobody else has a prayer request. Keith, would you pray for our prayer request, please?
Our Father, we are thankful for a time we can come to you and just ask you for the healing and continued prayers of these individuals. Father, I pray that you would be with these families.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a saint.
Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame, and make it grow. So there's
There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide.
Appreciate those guys putting the effort in. Well, I tell you, I was looking forward to today. Had a good service last Sunday. I preached, and those of y'all that have never preached, you don't know what it's like, but that sometimes you preach, Terry, and you're just sure that that was probably one of the best messages anybody's ever preached in the world. We got to the car, and I told Stephanie, I said, boy, I said, I think I done a good job this morning. I said, how many truly great preachers do you think they are in Cleburne County? She said, one less than you do. Amen. I didn't say that, but that's... Yeah, I've told that. I got to get some new jokes. But I was thinking as up there, I appreciate Colton filling in for Rudy this morning. Colton, you do know that don't have batteries in it. Colton was just a singing, Rudy's mic don't have batteries. So Next time Colton's there, y'all put some batteries in it. Good to have everyone out this morning, and I think God loves to have for us to have fun, and there is a time to get serious, and that is now. But the title of the message is Forgiven. If you've studied our Experiencing God lesson, and it's been about a love relationship. If you was in our Sunday school class, it was about the Rahab harlot and how he had forgave her. And if you've never studied about Rahab, you understand something, that she was a harlot. She was a prostitute, and God still saw fit to use her in a mighty way. You search her bloodline down, you'll find out that she was the great-grandmother of King David. A great-great-grandmother, I guess it is, but she was in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. A harlot who seems to be no good to us, but I want to tell you something. If you're here this morning, you're never so far that God can't get you. Amen. You're never so far away that God won't use you. And of all the people in her family that God chose to use, he chose Rahab to save those spies and to honestly to have what we have today in Jesus Christ. It's just amazing how God is. If you got your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 13 through 15. And I tell y'all all the time, I want you to understand how messages come forth. Terry's probably starting to see some of that now that he's preaching. But you'll see something wrote somewhere sometimes, and God will put a thought in your mind. Sometimes you read the scripture, and God just lets you know for certain that's where you preach that Sunday. And but this message, I woke up the other morning, I'm not even sure what day it was, and I had the words on my mind of blotting out, So I began studying the words, blotting out our sin, and looking at this through the scriptures, and God began building a message, and I hope that you'll enjoy it as much this morning as I have studying for it. More than that, I hope you'll understand something, that because of Jesus Christ today, you can be forgiven. If you are forgiven, then you need to be rejoicing. If you're not forgiven, then bless God, you need to be forgiven, and you can be. There's nothing special about any of us. It's simply the only difference in us and anybody else is we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We still live in a sinful flesh. We still have sinful desires. We still fail daily, but thank God that he saw fit to save us through that blood. And how wonderful it is today. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Listen to this. It said, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Nailing it to his cross. You need to understand that point right there. I've got some different translations that I study, and some of those said nailing it to the cross, but we need to understand it was nailed to his cross. And his cross, there was all kind of crosses in that day that people was hung on, but his cross was a special one. Nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we ask you to touch us this morning. God, we ask you to open hearts and open minds. And God, truly let us see what it means to be forgiven this morning. And God, we thank you for the process that you went through to do this for us. That God, when a man sinned, it didn't take you off guard. God, you knew what was going to happen. And you still lovingly give us free will and still brought us back to yourself. Lord, we thank you for that today. And God, I pray there's one in this building that don't know you, they will before we leave. God, I pray that you would just excite us all about you again. Father, we'd just be revived of understanding that we've been forgiven. We've been given another chance, Father, to be close to you. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've heard me preach much, you know I mention a lot about the fall. I don't know how you can preach and not mention about why we got into this shape we're in. We know that in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. Man was placed in a perfect environment with a perfect God, had a relationship with a perfect God. He communed with him daily in the cool of the evening. It said that he walked with him, he communed, and then those serpent come in, and he beguiled it, Adam and Eve. And we know what happened. He got them partake of the fruit, and their eyes was open, and it says that they began knowing right from wrong, began knowing good from evil. And at that moment, sin entered in. Sin entered in, and we see the next picture that God come to talk to Adam and Eve, and we find them hiding behind trees, and we find them hiding. They have sewed fig leaves together, and they're trying to hide from God. And so immediately, when sin entered in, the relationship with man and God was broken. And the Bible is a story of God, since the fall, of God wanting a relationship with man again. Now, that's what it is. It's a love letter written to us, and God made a way that relationship can be restored. There's no need for a man not to have a relationship with God now because he made a way through Jesus Christ. We all get the same chance. There's the Bible says there's different. There's neither Greek nor Gentile. It says there's neither white or black, red or yellow. It doesn't matter who you are or what color you are, what background you are, how much money you have or how much money you don't have. You can still have a relationship with the Holy God. And I'm thankful today that the Bible says it's by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man could boast. It's not about money. It's not about anything. It's simply about faith this morning in a living God. And thanks be to him. But I want you to see the first point this morning, and to be forgiven, we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. It says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And y'all know me, if you hear very much, you know I have to look at these words. And I began studying about the word redeemed. I began thinking about the word redeemed. And you know that most of the time we see that word today, it says we go redeem a coupon. Or we go redeem something. Or if you pay earnest money on a house, at some point you go redeem that. You pay the full amount and that possession becomes yours. So I had to go look up that meaning of that word redeem. And it means to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. Boy, when I read that in the Webster Dictionary, I like to shout it. Ain't it amazing how God knows these words to put in here? And then let me read that to you again in case you ain't excited. The meaning of redeem means to gain possession or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. May I tell you today that your relationship with God was redeemed. In other words, it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you're made worthy to have a relationship with God, and you have been redeemed. And boy, we all ought to be shouting this morning, running around, bragging about how our Almighty God has redeemed us. Listen, do you understand that we lost something? Me and you didn't do it. We would have done it if it had made it to me. I like to pick on women and say it was Eve's fault. The truth of the matter is Adam should have had control of that situation. And all along, he should have been there and protecting his family. Man, that's the message to us this morning. But listen, Adam and Eve broke a relationship. They broke a relationship. They lost a relationship that me and you have never got to understand until we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that relationship was broken, but thanks be to God today, it can be redeemed. It can be gained. It can be again. And the good thing is that it's already been paid for. Now, there's not a one of us in here that I told, if I was to tell you that I've got a $1 million mansion down in Birmingham somewhere, I would have said Cleveland County, but I don't know of any in Cleveland County. But if I said, I got a $1 million mansion there in Shelby County, Alabama, where them fancy people live. And I said, I'll give it to you, but you've got to go down there and you've got to redeem it. You've got to go. I'm going to give you the full payment. It's paid for, but you've got to go take possession of it. I promise you the I-20 would be a racetrack. We would all run over one another trying to get there this morning. So why in the world can you preach to people? And listen, I'm not picking on us this morning. I'm talking to all people. That you can preach to them that a relationship with God has been paid for by Jesus Christ. And we still have people leave this walks every day. And they find themselves in a place called hell because they simply would not accept this payment that has been paid. It's been paid. You don't have to pay anything for it. Jesus has done paid it. He's done redeemed it. All you've got to do is be willing to accept it. For the life of me, I can't understand why men have a problem with that. I can't understand why women have a problem with that. I can't understand why people in general have a problem with that. But then I begin looking at my own life and past time, and the only excuse you can come up with was I was blind. We are blind until Jesus Christ opens our eyes to the Spirit of God, draws us, lets us see that we need something. We don't realize that we've lost anything. We don't realize that we've lost anything. I hear preachers, I go to Bible college, and I hear preachers say all the time, you can't be saved until you figure out you lost. You can't be redeemed until you figure out there's a problem. You can't come to God until you figure out you don't have a relationship with Him. And many people go throughout their lives, 40, 50, 60 years, never knowing God. Never getting to meet God, never getting to commune with God. And listen, once you get to do that, it's something that you desire to do. You desire to be in that love relationship with Him. You desire to be around Him. You desire to be in His presence. Can you imagine Adam and Eve? In that garden, when it became time, the normal time that they would spend with God in the evening, and all of a sudden they couldn't be with Him because of sin. I believe they truly realized what had been lost. Listen, church, today we need to realize something, that there was a relationship with an almighty God lost. This is not a relationship with a husband or wife, although they're very important. This is not a relationship with a best friend, although friendship's important. But listen, this was a relationship with a God who created everything. The one who spoke light and it come to existence. The one who spoke the planets and the stars into existence. He simply spoke and all this stuff appeared. The relationship had been broke with him. Now listen, many of us, if I ask you somebody, somebody in here knows somebody famous, I promise you. Y'all know somebody famous? I know one does. Pat's got a cousin that used to be on, what show was it? It was one of them shows back when I was a kid. Rick and AJ was on it. What was the name of that show?
Simon
and Simon. You look up and see her cousin there. He's from Mississippi. Who would have thought that? But listen, she knows somebody famous. And I can begin asking you, and there's some relationship you have that you're proud of. You may say, I got a relationship with this person or that person, and if you knew the President of the United States, you would think that was pretty big, or a famous athlete or something, you would be real proud of that. But I want to tell you something today. I have a relationship with one who's much more important than that. I have a relationship with one who not only owns everything, that he has redeemed me, he's paid a price for me, and he has given me a home in heaven, and he saved me from all unrighteousness, and he's cleaned me up, he made something out of nothing. And I want to tell you something, church, it's time we start bragging about it. Well, it's time we start bragging about it. If you was kin to some of these famous people, boy, you'd go tell everybody. Now listen, but you got a Father in heaven who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we meet people every single day, and we're ashamed to tell them about it. Something's wrong. We had a possession, and we lost it. We had that possession of that relationship, and we lost it. And God so desired that he paid a price, paid the ultimate price. Now, those of y'all in here that's got children, you understand where this is coming from. Listen, I love y'all, and I enjoy being around y'all, and all this stuff, but I'm going to be completely honest with you right now. I don't know a single one of y'all in here that I'd give one of my kids for. I don't know. I just couldn't do it, and I wouldn't expect you to give one for me, because that's the greatest love we know as parents, as our children. And I wouldn't give a single one for y'all, but may I tell you about one who gave his perfect son for something that was lost, something that was dirty, something that was didn't deserve anything but death. And that's God. He gave his perfect son, Jesus Christ, who paid a penalty that me and you could not pay. Yeah, you see, a debt had to be paid, and he gave his son to do that, to redeem us back to him. This amazes me today. Amazes me. I'm guilty of saying, I probably already said today, that salvation don't cost us anything. And that's true. It don't cost us a dime. It don't cost us a single thing, but may I tell you that salvation was not cheap. Salvation was not cheap. It cost God everything. It cost God his only son. You think about this. God's son was perfect. He never committed sin. He'd never done anything wrong, and he had to crucify him for a lost world. He had to crucify him for a lost world. But you know what was terrible? Was there was a time in Scripture you can read about when Jesus was hanging on that cross. The Bible says from the sixth hour to the ninth hour that the sky turned dark, didn't it? You know what happened? God had to turn his back on his son. Now listen, his son never had any sin in him, but he had all the sins of the world on him. They was nailed to that cross. Every single sin that every man's ever done was hanging on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Your sins and my sins and all the whole world's sins was hanging there. And God could not look upon him. You're the reason that God could not look upon his son. You're the reason that God had to turn his back on him. And thank God in all that he still saw a need to save you, to redeem you. I don't know about y'all, boy, this excites me. Forgiven. Forgiven. You need to understand something. If you've been redeemed, you're no longer yours. You don't belong to you no more. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 20. Now remember what I said the meaning of redeem was? It means to gain or regain a possession of something in exchange for a payment. So a payment has been paid. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You are no longer yours. If you've been saved today, you don't have control over yourself. You don't have control over things. You can say, well, it's my body, I do what I want to. Or it's my life, I only want to harm myself. Listen, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, unless that scripture's lying and the scripture does not lie, it says that your body and your spirit are God's. This belongs to him. Boy, he ain't got very much. It's pretty short, Keith. But listen, it's his. He can determine what to do with it. Listen, only say so I have, I should be obedient. Yeah, and we're going to get to some scripture in a minute. And if you read on through Colossians, it was written there to tell them that the law didn't have control anymore, that it was now under grace. That's what Colossians was written for. But I want you to see something, that all this stuff, it don't give us a right just to go out and live like we want to. It don't give us a right just to do anything we think because we're not under the law anymore. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster. But listen, what you need to understand today is that you lost a possession and it's been given back to you if you've been saved today. Or if you've not been saved, you've got an opportunity for that possession to be given back. But once it is, you've got an obligation, and because you're no longer yours, you belong to somebody else. How many of y'all has ever borrowed a car from anybody? Raise your hands. I got to know you're still up. How many has ever borrowed a car? How many has ever borrowed a boat? That's dangerous. Don't ever borrow a boat from somebody. They'll sink. Anybody ever borrowed something expensive from somebody? Does it not seem that every time you borrow something, what happens?
It tears up.
Every single time I've ever borrowed anything expensive, it tears up, then you take it back, and you'll patch it up a little bit, and you say, oh, I hope he don't notice. I hope he don't notice that thing's tore up. What I'm saying is, if something's not yours, you take better care of it. Something's not yours, you handle it more with care. If I'm going to drive Terry's truck, I'll be more careful of Terry's than I will mine. If I'm going to drive Keith's, I will. If I'm going to drive anybody else's, I'll take better care of theirs than one of my own. What I'm telling you today is your body is not your own. Your spirit is not your own. It's God's. So why in the world do we treat it just any way we want to? We need to be careful of how we talk. We need to be careful of how we walk. We need to be careful of how we treat people, because now you're no longer your own. You belong to God. You're a representative of His. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. Not only have you been redeemed, if you've been forgiven, you've been redeemed, you've been reborn. Reborn. Boy, this gets confusing. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. Listen to this. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is what he told Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is the spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Let me tell you what he was saying here. And people have some problems with this scripture here, but I think this is what it means. If you don't think it is, we'll talk about it, but I believe it's what it means. It says here that a man must be born of water. Have you ever, those of y'all that's parents, even if you wasn't the woman, you remember at a time when something broke, didn't it? Water broke. I remember when Ashton was born, or one of them, I said I remembered, but it was one of them. We got so many. But we was there in the house, and it was early in the morning. I remember I was in bed, and all of a sudden, Stephanie jumped up, and she said, my water broke. So all I knew to do was call Mom. I don't know why I always call Mom, but I called Mom. I called Mom, and I said, Stephanie's water broke. What'd I do? She said, get the doctor, you fool. So I load her up, and we go to the doctor, and although we know it's not that big a rush nowadays, but anyway, I got her there, and in about 3 or 4 hours, we had a baby. But what I said all that to say this is, that baby is encapsulated in water. You must be born of water. That means you must be born physically to be saved. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? You must be alive. You must be alive physically. And the next thing is, listen, there's never been a person out here in this graveyard that has not been alive at some point. Even babies that are born dead, different things, at some point, they was alive because they began to grow and form a baby, so they was alive. They was conceived in that womb, so there was a life there. And life matters. That's a whole different message, but we'll get on in a little bit. But listen, to be alive at some point, life had to form. And it says that is born of the flesh, is the flesh, that's born of the spirit, the spirit. Now, to be alive spiritually, there must be a time that you was born again. And how do you become born again? The spirit, the Bible says that God draws you. It said he draws you. Now listen, the Bible says, I want you to understand this, because it gets very confusing. I've heard preachers say that the demon is drawing you just like something that our minds can't comprehend. But the drawing of the Spirit can be something as simple as God enlightening you, letting you know that you're lost. It can be God enlightening you, letting you know that you need him. Now listen, because the Bible teaches us that it's not natural for a lost human being to seek God. It says it's not natural for us to seek a relationship with God. That is completely against our sin nature. So when your mind, your heart begins thinking on God, that's the Spirit of God drawing you to himself. Don't get confused and think it's got to be a big lightning bolt or it's got to be something confusing and all this, because we learned in our experience in God that God works in practical ways. He's very practical. It's the thinking about it. It's the drawing that God makes the mind start thinking on Him. And at the moment when you say, God, yes, I accept You. Yes, I need a relationship with You. Yes, save me from all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. At that point, you become alive spiritually. So you become spiritually born. You see, you got two birthdays. I had one of July 13th, 1975. Pat was already 50. But I was born on July 13th, 1975. Boy, it must have been a good year. I was born that day. But listen, what's more important than that, what's going to matter to God throughout all eternity was on June 27th, 1997, at about 5:30, I think it was, not sure about the time, but on the second pew of Concord Baptist Church, I was born spiritually. And listen, that man will never pass away. These bones, they'll go to dust. This flesh will go to dust. But that man that was born there in that church that day, he will never perish. He will never turn old. He will never grow old. He'll be here forever with the Lord. Thanks be to God that we ought to run this morning. Now listen, though, not only been redeemed, we must be reborn. Must be reborn. The moment He enters our heart, the old is gone away and the new is eternal. Listen to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How is man born again? By the word of God. How are you saved today? By somebody stand up here foolishly like me, preaching for a certain amount of time. You can be born again from reading this scripture. You can be born again from a Sunday school teacher, from a song that's sung. But one thing for certain, outside the Word of God, you cannot be born again. It must come through the Word of God. It must come through God speaking through this Holy Scriptures is the way man is saved. Now, yes, somebody can have it in their heart, and they can tell you that the Colossians chapter number 2, verse so-and-so says this, or Ephesians chapter 5 says this, or they can go all through the Bible and tell you scriptures that's in their heart, and you can be saved from what a man says out of his mouth. But one thing's for certain, it must come from the Word of God. It must come from the Word of God. That's the only way you can be saved. The Bible says of its own self, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will remain forever. That's why we're incorruptible. This word will remain. We're saved by this word. We're kept by this word. And bless God, I don't know of any other truth in the world outside the word of God. There's no other truth. I can tell you things I think is true, but you don't need to listen to me. I can tell you things that's my opinion, but you don't need to listen to my opinion because that and 5 cents won't get you a dead snake, Brother Bill. But listen, there's not much you can count on, but you can count on the word of God. The word of God is eternal. Listen to this. Not only is our sin blotted out. Remember that verse I read to you? Where it said the ordinances that was contrary to us was nailed to His cross. You know what that was? That was the law. That was the law. The Ten Commandments, if you want to put it that way. They was nailed to His cross. You know why? Because I couldn't live them. Every single one of those commandments I have broken. You say, wait a minute, you mean you're our preacher? And you tell me that you committed adultery? Yes, at some point I probably have because I'm human. And I'm flesh, the Bible says, a man that look on a woman, lusts after her, has committed adultery in his heart. You say, you mean you've killed somebody? Well, the Bible says that a man that hateth his brother is the same as a murderer. And the Bible says, if you steal, that's one of the commandments. Have you ever stolen anything? And they'll tell them how many ink pens I've got at home that come from work. Y'all don't tell my boss. I hope he's not listening. But at some point, you have stolen. At some point, you committed adultery. At some point, you committed murder. Some points you've coveted. How in the world do you think we buy new pickup trucks and all these things? You turn that commercial on, you just went out to the Ford or Chevrolet place, you brought you a brand new car, you get home, you turn the TV on, and guess what's there? Another model. They've come out with a brand new one. How many of y'all bought an iPhone 8? And then you got the iPhone 8, what they show on TV? They got that new one. Then you get that new one, Corey, what's going to happen? They're going to have a new one. It's going to keep on going. And how do we get these things? Because we covet them. And this bit, Stephanie said I was going to have to bring this up. So I'm going to. And this is free right here. I'm not going to charge you a dime. All y'all iPhone users in here, and I'm one of them, did you know that Apple's new calendar does not have Christian holidays? Has Christmas, but does not have Easter. You pull up your calendar on your Apple device, and for April the 1st, which is Easter, says April Fool's Day. They offering calendars for Muslim calendar for all these other religions, calendar for China, all these different countries. But one of the calendars, now this is what I said, Corey, you may, and this is dangerous preaching about technical stuff because Corey's way sharper than I am. But it said on Fox News that in the Apple's thing, they did not make a calendar for Christians. Certain Apple devices have a box you can click if you want a Chinese calendar, a Muslim calendar. They did not incorporate a Christian calendar. I don't know what that's about, but I'm giving it to you free. And I got to go on. Not only is our sin blotted out, but those Ten Commandments was nailed to his cross. Listen, Jesus didn't come to condemn the law. He came to fulfill it. He lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, and redeemed each man, woman, boy, or girl that was ever be born. He saved them if they would accept it. How great that is. Can you just imagine? And now listen, if you look back at that cross, according to the scriptures, there was something nailed up there by Pilate, wasn't there? What did it say? Here's Jesus, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. You know why he must put up there? Because he wanted to be justified in crucifying him, because he wanted the world to believe that Jesus was going against Caesar. And Jesus clearly taught that you render unto Caesar the things that are his. He didn't teach against going against man-made laws. He said we must have laws to keep us safe. But listen, I want you to see something. What men saw on that cross didn't matter. But what God saw on the cross is what mattered. And I believe it. When God looked down at that cross, Terry, I believe he saw those Ten Commandments nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ and said, here it is, God, I fulfilled them. All those Ten Commandments have been taken care of. The law no longer has power. No longer can it condemn. So not only has our sin been blotted out, but what it is that made us know that we're sinners, what it is that condemned us, that was contrary to us, was nailed to a cross to be forever forgiven. No longer has no power. Once we know Jesus Christ, it has no power. And lastly, and we'll close, not only been redeemed and reborn, but we are rewarded. Rewarded. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You go on down a little further. He says, if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and get you. Where I am, there you will be also. You know what I began studying on this thing, began thinking on it? What a place that must be. What a place it must be. I've told y'all this before, but I tell you, some of you might not have heard it, but this refers back to a Jewish wedding. When Jews become entrothed or engaged, such as Amberly and Blake are now, when they become engaged, that was a bond. Now, that thing could not be broken only by divorce, and it was tough to get a divorce in those days. But what would happen was that at that period of time, the woman would go. She would begin preparing herself for beautification, and Amberly should have been doing that a long time ago. But she'd go prepare herself and all these things. And what the boy would do, Blake, it ain't going to be as fun now. What he would do is he'd go and start preparing a home for her. And you know where the home was? It was in his father's house. He went to start preparing a room, and he had to have that room perfect, and boy, it's good. It gets better. He would go. I didn't realize that was in there, but we're going to preach that. But listen, he would go start preparing a room at his father's house, and he would work on that room diligently, and guess what? He was not the one to say when the room was ready. His father would come look at the room, and when his father saw that the room was sufficient for a bride, he would say, son, go get her. Usually took up to a year. He would go and get that bride and bring her back to that home that he'd been preparing. A year, 365 days is what the average usual betrothal period was. Jesus Christ, if you look at this literal, has been working on your room for 2,000 years. What a room you must have. What a room you must have waiting on you. He's been preparing this thing, getting it ready. Getting it ready. Getting it ready just for you. You know, we've all heard about stories of heaven. The Bible don't say a whole lot about heaven. It says a lot more about hell than it does heaven because it's trying to warn us not to go to that place. We know it talks about streets of gold. We know it talks about walls of jasper. We know it talks about there won't be any tears there, no death there. None of those bad things we think about be there. But it said all things will be gone. And it says there won't be any kind of sorrows. And can you just imagine what a great place it must be? And we think about it in our little hearts and minds. How beautiful it must be. But listen at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know why it's in here? Because words cannot even say it. Words could not even let me and you understand what's waiting on us. Words could not understand. And listen, I know some of y'all that has loved ones going on, and I've lost grandparents and different things. Yes, I'm ready to see them. And some of y'all have lost husbands and children, and I can't imagine the pain you must go through, and wives and different things, and people have had losses in this building I'm talking to right now. And I can't imagine the reunion there's going to be that day. But may I tell you something? The number one thing I think is going to be on our hearts and minds when we enter that place is the face of Jesus Christ, amen, the one who redeemed us. I think that's what it's talking about. Our hearts has not even fathomed. You remember where Moses wanted to see God? He said, you can't. You can't because you can't live. No man can see me and live. At this point, our body will be created to be a new body. It'll be able to look on the face of an almighty God. And we can stand there uncondemned because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because we simply believed on him by faith. Oh, what a reward that's going to be. I want to tell you something, church. You're a blessed people. If you've been saved today, you are forgiven. You're not forgiven as I forgive. You see, I've got a human mind. You can hurt me, and I can forgive you, and I can act like nothing's ever happened. But the truth of the matter is, because of this old memory that I have, and we may preach about that in a week or two, but because of this old memory that I have, I can never, ever erase that. It's there. I'll always remember that you hurt me. I just will, because I don't have perfect love, and I'm not perfect, and I can't forgive perfectly. But when God's forgiven you, when God's redeemed you, and you become reborn, you're rewarded not only with heaven, but a complete new start. Just as you've never sinned. Just as you've never committed a sin in your life. Now I want you to understand this. Now, Baptist preachers have closed three times. The sins that you committed, if you're old like me, when you was 15, those are gone. The ones at 18, those are gone. The ones at 30, those are gone. If you like Pat, those at 80, those are gone. What I'm saying is the sins of yesterday, the sins of present, and the sins in the future are gone, to be remembered no more. You see, we tend to think about when God says he's forgiven us, we tend to think, well, that what I done when I was a teenager, that's gone. No, that's what you're going to do 10 years from now is gone, is forgiven. That's the way God's forgiveness works. You see, it said something about how you was forgiven. It says through the word of God, which is incorruptible. It never fades. It never gets old. It never runs out of power. That grace is ever sufficient. There's a scripture, and I wish I had thought about doing this. There's a scripture in there that says, now are we being made right with God. And the word now is always now. When you read that word 10 years from now, in the Bible it'll still say now, which will refer to that day. You read it 50 years ago, it said now. So now is a word that's ever present. So our freedom and our forgiveness is ever present. Thank God we've been rewarded. Thank God we've been redeemed. Let me read to you a summary I wrote, and I'll be done the third time. Relationship between God and man was broken in the garden when sin entered into the world. Did not surprise God at all. He knew what would happen before the world was made. But in his perfection to create a true love relationship, he must allow it to happen. We're not robots. We get to choose whether or not to choose God. We choose to accept the payment that was paid for us. All the transgressions that we have done toward God have been blotted out and never come to God's mind again. We are forgiven. Not just for what we have done in the past, what we will do tomorrow and 40 years from now if we are alive then. We are free. We are free. What will you do with this freedom? What will you do with this forgiveness? Will you be thankful to God? Will you be honorable to God? Will you live a life that shows that you're pleased with what God done for you? You see, if you've been pleased with it, don't hold a lot of weight. But will God be pleased with you? And the only way that God will be pleased with a sinful flesh is when one's come to him in faith and cried out, repented of those sins, and asked God for forgiveness. I don't know hearts today, and I don't know lives. Wasn't prepared for no single person, God. I have no idea who's going to be here when God lays a message on my heart on the first of the week or whenever he does. I don't know. All I know is, as the Bible says, that word don't return to him void. Don't turn vain. It accomplishes what it goes out to do. So if you would stand with me today. Jonathan's going to play us a verse of Imitation. I want you to listen to the words of this song. He's going to put them up there where you can read it. You need to come to this altar. You need to give your heart to Christ or anything. You come during this time. You come and cry out to God, and I promise you, He'll save you. He'll make you right with Himself.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last? And you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain.
Appreciate your attendance. Appreciate your attention this morning. Ushers, come forth. You may be seated. We'll take up our regular Sunday morning's offering.